Hi, this is Kelly Ray Roberts.
And this is Nicole Poinsky.
And this is the Possibilitarian Podcast, conversations about bravery, tenderness, and achievement.
Hi, Kelly Ray.
Hi, Nicole. Nicole already has the giggles.
We already have the giggles. I'm so sorry.
No.
I'm really happy to be here with you right now. I am. I love recording our podcasts. I get a lot of, you know, energy from our conversations.
I do too.
Yeah, they're really...
I'm especially excited to dive into what we are talking about today because I feel like it was so relevant to my own journey when I was beginning. And I know it's really relevant for so many of us. Really all of us, actually.
Yes, artists and non-artists alike, yeah. I think. Yeah, just people who are on a journey, which should be everybody.
Which is all of us.
Yeah, all on a journey. How are you doing?
I am good. Fall is in the air, and if I'm being really honest, it's like the semester has started, kind of, you know. I feel like I live my life still on semesters, and we just came off summer, and summer was summer. It was relaxing. It was the first summer in a long time that it felt like a true summer.
Yeah.
And so now it's fall, and I have this little voice inside my head that's saying, chop, chop, get back to work. And I am resisting that to the max, which means that there's some serious procrastination happening. There is not sleeping well because I'm behind, because I'm procrastinating, but also just trying to give myself lots of permissions, but at the same time questioning if all those permissions are just more tactics for procrastinating. I'll just have one more long 3-hour nap and one more bubble bath, one more trip to the movies. And then at night I like thank myself for giving myself all those permissions.
Well, you know, actually I've been struggling with this a lot because I've been so busy and active lately with social engagements, which has not been my thing forever. And then all of a sudden I'm like going out to concerts and I'm going to book club and I'm going to, you know, meet friends for coffee, whatever. And I read an Instagram post this morning from our mutual friend Annika, who does amazing
copywriting for anybody who needs a copywriter. She's your gal, AnnikaMartins.com. Yeah.
And we will put that link in the podcast description, the episode description.
Yeah.
She wrote this morning how she's been, you know, working really hard, but then like, you know, resting, napping, you know, lounging. But then she figured out like that just made her more tired.
Right.
So she gave herself permission to go for a swim this morning, take some walks, you know, just like doing things that are a little bit more active, and suddenly she's like super awake.
Right. I read that too, and it really resonated for me.
Me too.
Because her taking care of herself had more intention behind it, and versus what I've been doing lately, which is just straight up resting and lounging.
Right. Yeah.
Like so, a cat.
Because I've been like so active lately, I've been like sleeping in, telling myself like, oh, I need more sleep. Yeah. Oh, I need more.
Yeah.
So this week on Monday, I was like, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to do my walk thing. And then I'm going to slowly reincorporate, you know, doing the hula yoga, hooping. Doing the hula hooping. Exactly. So.
Yeah, you're totally inspiring me right now. I need to do that.
Hula hoop?
Well, all of the above. Oh, there was something. I hate it when this happens. I swear my brain is getting it. I was going to tell you something. It seemed really important, but now it's out of my brain. I missed it. It's gone. This has been happening a lot lately.
It will. If it is truly important, it'll come back to you.
Okay.
Right?
I hope so. It had something to do with self-care and Annika and shoot. Oh, well, it's gone.
Okay.
It's gone.
All right.
Oh, I know what it was.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I was going to say, because you've been so social lately, mm-hmm. It just reminded me of the last time that I was really, really social, and how for weeks afterward, I had to go through this whole process of major destimulation. Yeah, because I'm super sensitive, and all as much as I love being social and getting energy from my people,
yeah,
the introvert side of me needs to decompress for ever and ever mm-hmm. and ever after a string of social activity. Does that happen for you?
Well, that's the tension that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Because it's like in the, you know, I don't know, like I used to call myself an introvert, and then it turned out I was just isolating. So now I'm in this phase where I'm like really into being around people, really into being active, and I do get a lot of energy from it. And so I'm waiting for that fallout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And at the same time, really, really hoping it doesn't come, because I really don't want that to hit in the middle of winter.
Oh.
Because it gets so dark here, and right. it stays dark for a right. really long time.
Yeah. You know yeah. what? You're bringing up a good point, which is for me in winter, I have to force myself to be social, mm-hmm. get out, because mm-hmm. it is what gets me through mm-hmm. the dark, rainy, wet winters here.
Yes. Yes.
Even for a super introverted, sensitive gal like myself.
Yeah. 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 So I'm hoping that this streak continues.
Yeah.
That I continue to be super socially active.
Yes.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. All right. So mm-hmm. shall we
yes, dive into... into...
So you guys, we received a brilliant question in our inbox that is... was so brave of the sender to send, and also really resonated for me and for Nicole, because it's a question that we get often mm-hmm. and but you know in different language not different languages as in like
yeah no
English this was... whatever but it did right. But in different words.
Right. This was yes. very well articulated.
You got it. So yes. Nicole's going to read the email now.
Go yes. ahead. Okay. So Caitlin asks, I have always loved experimenting with art in all its forms, but I really want to buckle down and focus without limiting myself. How do you develop a cohesive style when there are so many things you are interested in creating? For example, I love painting, mixed media, hand lettering, stationery, making prints and cards, doing DIY projects, blogging, commissioned work, etc. But I want to have a more cohesive look and feel to everything. I've noticed that I have a pattern of trying to monetize everything I do instead of just pure creating what I love. This pattern has left me with a wide variety of pieces, and I'm happy with my talents, but I have no idea what my thing is, and I'm dying to find it. She also says that turned into a loaded question.
Caitlin, thank you so much for sending that question.
Thank you.
And when I first read this email, as you know, Nicole, I'd had a ton of thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'll just start with the first thing that popped into my head after mm-hmm. reading this, which was that Caitlin mentions, and I think that she answered one of her questions when she said that she's trying to monetize a lot of the things instead of just creating for her heart's
yes.
purpose. And I think that creating with the purpose of monetizing anything
mm-hmm.
is really, really, really dangerous to our creative growth.
Mm-hmm.
If we, it means that we're creating something with this filter of how can I make money from this thing that I'm creating? Mm-hmm. And so you're already filtering out the joy. You're filtering out bold choices that you can make with your mm-hmm. art. You're filtering out just that playful inner spirit that wants to come out and create yeah. just for the sake of creating without worrying
yep.
if this is something that is commercial, if this is something that someone's going to buy.
Yeah.
So my first response to Caitlin would be, she has to take that off the table,
mm-hmm.
take the monetizing piece completely off the table, yep, and then get into a space of experimentation for experimentation's sake and creative joy's sake. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that might take a while because she's coming from a place, whenever we're coming from a place of monetizing and to then turn back and mm-hmm. not monetize, it's sort of like a, it's like a detox process. We have
totally.
To, you know what I mean? Like, yes. We have to unlearn how to make art from that angle.
Yes.
And get back to making art just for the sake of mm-hmm. soaring and creative growth. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I do. And I think when we're coming from the angle of monetizing, we tend to look to what is making money or who we consider successful. And that limits our ability to create something of our own, right? Right.
We're looking at, well, it worked for her, it worked mm-hmm. for him. Perhaps it could work for me. Mm-hmm. But what we don't realize in those instances is that we're trying on somebody else's voice and right. emulating someone else's style, right. which is 100% a part of the creative process. But monetizing that
yes.
is it's just dangerous for your right. growth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as like living in someone else's style, did you ever do that when you were first starting to create art?
Oh my gosh, I did. And I'm so glad you asked this question because I think when we are sort of experimenting and with different things and kind of like sort of how Caitlin is with all over the map with her different things, to me, what I read in her email was that she is trying to find her thing, mm-hmm. right? She's trying mm-hmm. to find her style. And so I would encourage her to look at the art that she's drawn to the mm-hmm. most. Is it painting? Mm-hmm. Is it knitting? Is it memory keeping? Is it, what is it mm-hmm. that she, of all the things that she does, what is it the thing that she is most drawn to? Mm-hmm. And it might be, let's say, for example, it's painting mm-hmm. and let's say that she's really drawn to artists that are doing landscapes or artists who are doing figures, whatever it is, to really focus on that. What is it about that artist? What is it about their work that is drawing me in? Mm-hmm. What is it? And then begin to really focus and emulate that artist's style, which is 100% part of the creative process for right. me. When I was starting, I was emulating artists like DJ Pettit. Mm-hmm. I loved her figures and her art. Mm-hmm. Judy Wise, same thing. Misty Mon, mm-hmm. loved her use of collage. And several others. Anahata from Papaya, mm-hmm. love her women too. And for me, I was so drawn to those four women, and I'm sure there were many others, that I just began emulating their style. Mm-hmm. But I didn't monetize it.
Right. Yes. You did it for yourself.
I didn't monetize it. Yeah. I just was doing it for exploration's sake.
Yep.
And I studied their art and I studied yep. their faces and I studied their textures. Right. And
because at that point, you didn't even know that this was a career option for you.
Oh, no. I was just doing it for joy.
Right.
For joy.
Right.
And then what happens, and what I would, you know, ask that Caitlin does or anybody who's struggling with this, is to truly emulate someone's style. And maybe that's my style and that's mm-hmm. celebrated and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and just keep going, keep making really bad art yeah. until, which is what I did, until you're not making bad art anymore right. and your style will emerge.
Right.
It really will.
Yeah.
But we have to have a starting point, and our most natural starting point is to emulate someone else. I do it in style with what I wear, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
we
totally.
Talk about and wear your joy of having style mentors and mm-hmm. who do we want to, you know, with our outfits, who are we emulating when we get dressed up in the morning?
Right.
Maybe we're literally copying the outfit that was on, you know, the model that was in the store window.
Yep.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And then eventually when your confidence grows, you'll throw in your own accessories and mm-hmm. your own colors. And the same is true with painting.
Yeah. And I think in that uncovering process and that unburying process and the digging deep that we get to do when we're going through finding our own style, once it hits, you feel it.
You feel it.
There's something that, like, you created something, you're able to look back on it and go, like, this feels really right. And also, like, for me, like, I don't paint that often. I don't write that often, but sometimes I will, write songs and it feels like it wasn't even me writing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just comes from a place, like, I'll just be doing dishes or I'll be taking a walk, mm-hmm. and a tune will come to my head, words will come to my head. I'll be like, huh, where did that come from? I better capture that. And yeah. I do. And then it turns into something fully formed, but it really honestly doesn't feel like I did it myself. Because every time that I've sat down,
it came through,
like,
you.
Yeah. Every time I've sat down, like, I tried this experiment a couple years ago where I sat down and did like a 30-minute creativity meditation and, like, gave myself a space to write songs, and everything that came out of that session was shit. Like, it just didn't sound good. But the ones that have really worked are the ones that I wrote taking a walk.
Yeah.
Doing the dishes.
Yeah.
What have you. Like, just divine inspiration.
Divine inspiration. You created a space for it to come through. And
I did. I think that the songs that were shit, you
were
know,
forced.
They were forced, but they were also, like, in that exact same thing. They were emulating other people. You know? Like, yeah. And I was trying it on.
Yeah. So it wasn't shit for the purpose of trying it on. It was shit that it didn't belong to you in the end. And then eventually, I would imagine that practice, though, led to the divine.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
It's like you have to work through the shit, and you have to work through the ugly paintings, and you have to work through pieces of creativity that don't quite belong to you yet to get to,
oh, 100%.
What you're describing.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, yeah, this is me. This is really, this belongs with my voice, or it was given to me divine inspiration through my voice. Or
yes.
However.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to tell you this story.
Oh, yes.
So the other thing that came up in Caitlin's email was that she dabbles in a lot of different things and isn't quite sure what her thing is. And that reminded me of this talk that I recently heard from Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. I had this amazing opportunity last week to go to LA and be in the audience of Oprah's Soul Sessions, where she had, it's kind of like a TED event where she had a bunch of speakers speak for 30 minutes at a time. I think there were 8 speakers. It was crazy inspiring, but also, speaking of sensitivity, I was so overstimulated by the end of the 8 hours and so overwhelmed with all my note taking. It took me days to recuperate from the, I don't even know what to call it, like, explosion of inspiration. But anyway, Liz Gilbert spoke and during her 30 minutes, she spoke about how she gave a talk in Australia many years ago. Or maybe it wasn't many years ago. I think it was probably recently. And she talked about what she always talks about, which is following your passion, finding your passion and running with it, and let that be your fuel to create something amazing in life. And so she got home and she got back to her hotel and she was reading her Facebook messages. And this woman who was in the audience had sent her a really long letter and posted it on Liz Gilbert's Facebook page that basically said, I just arrived home from your talk and now I feel worse about myself than I ever have before. I don't have a passion. So does that make me not worthy? I truly do not have a passion. And so Elizabeth Gilbert talked during this talk, she talks about reading that letter and just feeling so disheartened that she had created a moment for somebody that made them feel horrible about themselves. And she began to think about all the people that she loved in her life and whether or not they had passions. And she realized that for most of the people in her life, they were not like her, that they, you know, she has lived her whole life as someone who has had this writing passion since she was little. And most of the people she knew did not have one singular passion or focus. And so then she, realized that there are two types of people in the world. There are hummingbirds and there are jackhammers.
Yes.
And jackhammers, which is what she is, are people who have a singular passion and focus, and they jab away at that, or they jackhammer mm-hmm. away at that one thing for their mm-hmm. entire lives. And the hummingbirds are people who don't have a singular passion and focus, but rather they pollinate the world with mm-hmm. their ideas and experiences. And I just got full body chills when I said that. And so she realized that not everybody in the world is like her. Mm-hmm. We're not all jackhammers. I keep wanting to say sledgehammer, but that's the wrong word. Yeah. And that many, maybe most of us are actually hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. And that there is value in both of those things. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it when she said that hummingbirds are pollinating the earth and with their ideas and experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that that is just as much valuable as the jackhammers of the world. So yeah. I also want to just offer that up to Caitlin and to anybody who's listening. I just thought it was a really brilliant story of there are so many of us who are dabbling mm-hmm. and we're making ourselves feel really badly about ourselves because we're dabblers. But I love the idea of reframing that into hummingbirds.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll never have a singular passion focus mm-hmm. and maybe you'll be a creative hummingbird in the creative arts mm-hmm. and that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
What would you consider yourself?
At first, I want to say hummingbird because hummingbirds are so much more romantic than jackhammers, but
you also, I think hummingbird is one of your totems, right?
It's absolutely yeah. one of my totems, and I have a major affinity, and so does my yeah. husband, and we just have this love for hummingbirds, but I think I'm a hummingbird. The way I would say it is I do have a singular focus and passion, but I'm a hummingbird within that passion. I love mm-hmm. writing. I love creating. I love teaching. I love talking. I love doing this. But everything that I do is framed around one singular passion.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I'm a jackhammer. I'm just going to own it. I'm a jackhammer.
Great.
What are you?
I don't know. I think I'm definitely a hummingbird.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my thing was theater and acting, right? I just really wanted to be an actress. And then when I became an actress throughout high school, it was the plan that I was going to go to a 4-year university and study theater. And I got into a really good school, and then I told my dad I didn't want to be an actress anymore, and it's like the one time he's gotten mad at me.
What school?
I went to UW, which is one of the top theater programs in the United States.
So you told your dad you didn't want to do that anymore?
Yeah, and I was like, I think I'm going to go for communications. He was like so disappointed. Not disappointed, just like confused.
Right.
And it came out as anger. And I think it's hilarious because like he was mad at me for not getting a hippie degree. He was like, what do you want to do with communications? What are you going to do with that? Go work in an office?
What do you mean you're not going to be a starving artist for the rest of your life?
And then I didn't end up pursuing that degree either. So because throughout college and after college, I would find these, you know, interests, and I keep doing this. I will find something and then I will like fully just like dive headfirst into that thing, into that interest. Music is one that stuck around for a while. But for a long time it was yoga. For a long time it was making my own clothes. For a long time it was, you know, I don't know.
You've been collecting experiences.
I have been, yes. Yeah, but the danger in that I realized, I actually talked about this with Lacey.
Lacey Young, who was in Nicole's position before mm-hmm. Nicole was in her position. And we love Lacey. Look her up at LaceyYoung.com.
Yes, she is amazing. She's beautiful. And we were talking during my interview about this. Because I would find something, I would dive headfirst into it, and then I would decide this is going to be my thing for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
This is going to be my career. This is going to be the thing that's going to take, like, that's going to catalyze the rest of my life.
Like the passion.
Yes.
You're looking for that passion.
I was looking for not so much the passion, just the thing that is going to make the rest of my life make sense. You know what I mean? And, you know, sorry, we're going to take a giggle break. I'm sorry.
You're so mean. I'm sorry. I just made Nicole giggle by looking at her a funny way.
Yeah.
No, but seriously,
Nicole. Because I'm having a serious conversation right now. No, okay. So
you were looking for that thing.
I just the thing that was going to catalyze the rest of my life into making sense, right?
I get
and it.
It
wasn't necessarily, well, no, it was like I would find an interest and then make that my career, you know, all the while,
yeah,
you know, still working at my,
well, also Nicole, and just I want to, just for perspective and reference, Nicole, how you are 28, and I also, but don't you think that this is what your 20s are for? Like,
oh yeah.
Like trying things on. Yeah, that, yes, doesn't quite feel right. Okay, I'm going to try this on. But there is this looming pressure, like the older, mm-hmm, you get and the deeper you get into your 20s to have it, mm-hmm, figured out, right? Which is horrible, I think.
Yes, and yes. And delusional.
And delusional.
It's an illusion because the world we live in now is not the world that my parents grew up in. So,
yes,
you know, finding that thing isn't necessarily going to be it. But
and we have way more flexibility too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
I think that the mistake I was making is that I wanted this thing to give my life meaning.
Yeah.
Instead of looking inward, yeah, and instead of doing self work, I wanted something external.
Yeah.
To make my life make sense.
I love that.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. And this is what I love about, like, this is what I love about going back to Kaylin's question about seeking to monetize, mm-hmm, without, like, seeking, in the case that you were, to, for this thing that's going to, because she might be seeking to monetize, but you are seeking to, for something to make sense.
It's to make the same your thing.
Life, it is exactly the same, yeah, thing. Like, whatever. We have to be really clear about why we're doing something.
Yes.
Are we doing it to catapult our life into a way that's going to make sense? Are we doing it to make money? Are we doing it to appease our parents or, right, someone in the family's their voice or, right, their wishes? Which is why it just goes back to, like, create for creating's sake and, mm-hmm, to silence the noise.
Yes.
Get, yes, out of other people's needs, wishes, wants. Mm-hmm. Get out of your own way. Don't worry about what this is going to become, mm-hmm, what it's going to be built into, if it's going to be a job, if it's going to, like, all you want to do is just nourish your soul.
Yeah.
And create for the sake of creating.
Right.
And maybe that'll turn into something that makes your life make sense. Maybe,
right,
it'll turn into something that makes you money, but maybe not.
Right.
And that makes it, it's still worth it.
Yes. Agree.
It's still worth it.
Well, that's, yeah, the phase that I'm in now, is not so much creating for creating's sake, but living for,
yes,
for life's sake.
I love that.
Right. Like, I have so many things that I'm doing and I'm living the kind of life that I want to live.
Yeah.
And I've been given opportunities, that I never thought that I'd be given. Right.
Mm.
And I'm making connections with folks that I would have never crossed paths with. Yes. There we go. And I don't know. It's just, it's totally different because I'm not, it's because the second I stopped looking for meaning is the second all this stuff.
You found meaning. Like, I,
yeah,
know.
It just rushed in.
I know.
And my friend said something the other day that was brilliant. She said, nature abhors a vacuum. So the nature. Second that we create space in that place,
yeah,
things come in.
I love
because
that.
It's true.
I love
it's
that.
True.
There's also that quote, which of course I'm not going to remember the entire one, but the idea is like to let the universe come rushing in, mm-hmm. and which to me basically means what we're saying, what we're talking about, which is getting out of your way, mm-hmm. getting all of your like plans, mm-hmm. and
oh, plans
filters and all of that, like yeah. just clean the slate, yep. and let create for creating's sake, and just let it unfold, let yeah. the universe come rushing in, let's yeah. see what happens. And that can be exactly what you said, it could have to do with creating, it could have to do just with living.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes, well, yes. Did we just harmonize? I think we answered Caitlin's question.
I think we totally answered Caitlin's question.
It was a good question. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
So
that was really, really good.
Yeah, I think is there anything else, Nicole, that you'd like to say?
If you have a question like Caitlin, you can send it to us at hello@kellyrayroberts.com. We super, super appreciate. We super appreciate your questions. That's all I wanted to say. Also, we've been getting some great reviews on the iTunes store. And if you guys just head on over to the iTunes store, leave us a little review, leave us your thoughts. We would totally, totally appreciate it because that gets us higher in the rankings and it helps more people find us.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say, just given everything we've been talking about today, that this podcast is a really great example of just doing it for the sake of experimentation and and see what unfolds and see what the universe brings. I love that we're doing this. I don't mm-hmm. know what the grander plan of our little podcast is, but it feels good. And so that's a great enough reason for me to keep experimenting with it. And we're so glad you guys are along for the ride.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All okay. right.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.